Last Sunday, we kicked off this 21-day spiritual journey called 21 Days of the Goodness of God, of God's goodness. And many of us are setting aside these couple of weeks as a time to really focus on our relationship with the Lord and really to press in. And the whole purpose is getting to know Jesus better, getting to know him on a deeper level, in particular when it comes to the fact that God is good. God is good. You know, everything really starts to come into focus when we start seeing God through the right lenses. If we start seeing God as being a God who's distant or unfeeling or uncaring, that distorts everything about our life. But when we have this biblical view that God is actually good, then that transforms how we approach life, how we see things. It transforms our feelings and transforms how we see our future. And so many things about us are changed when we get to have a biblical view of who God is. So what we're doing is we're recalibrating. We're recalibrating our thinking about God. And perhaps you're here this morning and you think, well, Tim, you're wasting your time because I already know God is good. Listen, I'll guarantee you, no matter how good you think God is, he's even better than what you've been thinking. And so we can all grow in our understanding of the goodness of God and experiencing the goodness of God. A.W. Tozier, in his great book, The Knowledge of the Holy, I highly recommend this book. It's several years old, but it's a great book. The whole outlook of mankind might be changed if we could all believe that we dwell under a friendly sky and that the God of heaven, though exalted in power and majesty, is eager to be friends with us. But sin has made us timid and self-conscious, as well it might. Years of rebellion against God have bred in us a fear that cannot be overcome in a day. All right. So that's why we're taking this time to recalibrate, and we're going to be focusing not just for these next couple of weeks, but all year we're going to be focusing on the goodness of God, seeking a more biblical view of who God is. So last Sunday we unveiled our Bethel Church theme scripture for the year, Psalm 145 and verse 4. Would you read this out loud with me? All right, let's just be bold and read the Word of God out loud together. Here we go. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. And so in 2020, we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. We're going to be singing about the goodness of God. We're going to be declaring the goodness of God. We're going to be living out and practicing the goodness of God and how we treat others, all right? So it's all about the fact that God is good, all right? Now, before we get into this, I want to talk about this word good for a minute. What do we mean by that when we say God is good? Because our English word good is a bit ambiguous. We use it in a lot of different ways. So when the Bible is referring to the goodness of God, this word good is not used like we typically use it. A lot of times we use the word good as a measurement, right? As a rating or a quality. Like there's good, then there's better, and then there's best. Right? So for example, if I wanted to go to a movie and I had a friend that had gone to that same movie and I was curious about if they enjoyed the movie and I went to them and said, how was that movie? And they said, it was good. I probably wouldn't spend my, you know, $15 for a ticket and $20 for popcorn and 30 minutes of previews because they said it was good. I would want them to say it was amazing. It was fabulous. It was fantastic, right? That's what you want to hear. This is how we use our word good a lot. But this is not what the Bible means when it talks about the goodness of God. When the Bible talks about the goodness of God, it's talking specifically about how God relates to us. It's talking about how God is good in his attitude and his actions toward his people, all right? So when we talk about the goodness of God, it's in reference to God being good to us, all right? So it's not evaluation, because of course, if it was an evaluation of God, we would say God is fantastic, he's awesome, he's great. Amen? So our big idea this morning, as we pursue this idea that God is good, in the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects of God's goodness. We're going to be talking about the wisdom of God. So our big idea today is God is wise, and we can and should trust him to lead and guide our lives. So for those of you who may be thinking, well, I believe that God is good in the sense that he has good intentions, but I'm not positive that he really understands what I'm dealing with here, right? We're going to talk about God's wisdom, and my prayer for you today is you're going to come to a place where you trust the goodness of God so much that you'll literally take your life and put it in his hands and know that there's no better place your life could be, right? Because God is wise, all right? So I'm going to build some building blocks here. And the first one is this. We're going to talk about the knowledge of God, that God has perfect knowledge. God has perfect knowledge. In theology, we say that God is omniscient. And you see the word omni there, which is all or everything. And then you might see the word science there, in the second half of the word. So God has knowledge of everything, all right? So God knows everything about everything. God knows everything about everything, okay? So God, by his very nature, is not growing in knowledge because his knowledge is already perfect. God is never learning anything because he has nothing to learn. God is not in need for anyone to teach him or advise him. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13 said, "Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or to teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction on what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice?" Right? Amazing rhetorical questions there, right? God is in no need to learn from anybody. He doesn't need anybody's advice or his counsel. Romans chapter 11, bringing it into the New Testament, says this, "Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor," right? So God knows everything about everything, but also, not only does God know everything about everything, God actually knows everything that will happen, all right? So God knows perfectly what is going to happen in the future. He knows everything that will happen. God is never caught off guard. God is never taken by surprise by anything. God has perfect knowledge of the future, all right? Now, let's personalize this. This is so important that we get this. God knows everything there is to know about you, all right? Everything there is to know about you. Some of you might be saying, well, there's a few things about me I wish God didn't know. And I want to assure you today, there's no one who knows you more than God does, and there's no one who loves you more than God does. He loves us perfectly, and he knows everything about us. David perceived this in Psalm 139. I won't have it up on the screen. Just listen to me read it, or you can look it up. In Psalm 139, David wrote these words, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. So there is no one who knows us better than God does. He knows us perfectly. And if you can accept this, God knows you better than you know yourself, right? You ever find yourself asking, well, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I have occasion once in a while to have to ask myself that question. Well, what I don't know, actually, God does know about me. And so when I'm asking those kind of questions, I can go to the Lord, and the Lord, on many occasions, has actually shown me things that I didn't know about myself. God knows us perfectly, all right? So this is building block number one. Building block number one, God has perfect knowledge, all right? Building block number two, then, as we come to the wisdom of God, God's perfect knowledge is the foundation for his perfect wisdom, all right? So wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and apply it to life. The ability to take knowledge and apply it to life. So God takes all of his knowledge and he knows exactly how life should work. God knows better than anyone else how life works. And he knows what doesn't work, by the way. God completely understands cause and effect. Cause and effect. So every decision we make in life, the words we speak, the things that we do, these things all have a ripple effect, right? It's like you go out to a pond that is completely flat, and you throw a rock out into the middle, and the ripples go out from there. So our words, our actions, they all have a ripple effect, and we don't always understand the consequences of our actions, right? When we do them, but God does. And on the other hand, we don't always understand the blessings that are involved with the things that we're supposed to do, and we do them, and then we're blessed, you know, like tithing. A lot of times we think, well, I don't see how mathematically this is going to work out, God, you know. I don't see how the blessing's going to come. Well, God sees blessings in your life that you don't see. So God sees the consequences of our actions, and he also sees the blessing of our actions, all right? So if that's true, If God knows the cause and effect, he knows what the ripples are going to be. He knows the consequences of our actions. He knows the blessings of our actions. If all this is true about God, doesn't it make sense that we should take our cues from God? Amen? Yeah. That we should start taking God at his word. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Yeah. Now, there is someone who does not want you to know the counsel of God or trust the counsel of God, and that is Satan. I think sometimes people are expecting Satan to show up with a big black cape with the Darth Vader music announcing his introduction. But that's not how he works. He's much more subtle and confusing than that. Now listen, Satan is not omniscient like God is, but Satan is very knowledgeable, very intelligent. And he knows how to cleverly disguise his lies to look like the truth. So much so that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. An angel of light. So he's going to make his lies look like truth, right? So his lies might come through an entertainer, maybe your favorite singer. And you say to yourself, but I really like her songs. And she's super popular. I just love her. So what she says in her songs must be true, right? Look out for those subtle lies from the enemy that are in some of the music and the entertainment in our world, right? Or maybe it's a politician, and they just seem so honest and sincere, right? Or maybe, I'll turn to my profession here, maybe it's a preacher. Well, Pastor Tim, their church is so big. They must be telling the truth, right? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Now, fortunately for us, we don't need to be left out in the dark because God is good and God is wise and He will lead us in wisdom if we will let Him. He will lead us into good things for our lives. So my next point this morning when it comes to the wisdom of God is God makes His wisdom known to us, right? He doesn't keep His wisdom hidden from His children. He makes His wisdom known to us. He reveals to us what is good and what is wise. James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. All right? So our questions, our lack of understanding, God doesn't say, hey, you idiot, figure it out for yourself. You should be smarter than that. No. God is loving and gracious, and when we ask God sincerely for wisdom, He will gladly share His wisdom with us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen? And listen, you don't have to be a Christian for 20 years to get wisdom from God. If you know Jesus, you have the Spirit of God, and you have the Word of God, and God is going to begin showing you things and teaching you things if you will just learn to trust Him and wait upon Him. God shares His wisdom with us. Now, one of the ways God shares wisdom with us is through the Bible, His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hey, guys, God's Word is a gift to us. Amen? Don't let it collect dust on the shelf. It's a gift to us. And through the Word of God, we get knowledge and understanding and wisdom for life, okay? It's the Word of God. It's God sharing His wisdom with us. There's a second way God gives us wisdom. God also imparts wisdom to us by filling us with His Holy Spirit. Now, there are those out there that would say, we don't really need the Holy Spirit anymore. All we need is the Bible. And I want to say, well, that's not true. Because if we didn't need the Holy Spirit, God wouldn't have sent His Holy Spirit. Right? I know that's pretty simple reasoning, but come on. God sent His Holy Spirit because we do need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God, but we also need the Spirit of God. So, for example, the Bible is going to give me instructions about how marriage works the way God intended it to be, but the Bible's not going to tell me who I should marry. Right? Yeah. And the Bible teaches me a lot about what it means to be a good husband, but the Bible doesn't tell me exactly what my wife needs from me. The Holy Spirit tells me that as I'm praying. And she tells me too, but I mean, come on. So we need the Word of God and we need the Spirit of God at work in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "The Spirit," this is the Holy Spirit, "searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So God gives us His Word. Thank God for that. But God also gives us His Holy Spirit. I know some of us, perhaps we've been raised in traditions where we've been taught to fear the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you today that that fear is not from God. The Spirit of God is God's gift to us. Amen? Let's be open to the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God teach us and guide us and instruct us just the way Jesus told His disciples the Spirit of God would. God is ready and willing to share His wisdom with us. Hallelujah. Now, another thing I want to say about wisdom is this, that the ultimate expression of God's wisdom is Jesus. It's Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. These things are treasures from God, freely given to His children. The wisdom of God is in Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is expressed through the words of Jesus, through the things He taught, through how He treated people, the things that He did. And the wisdom of God is expressed in Jesus, in the perfect plan of salvation that Jesus Christ, His Son, came into this world and He died on a cross for our sins. The perfect plan of salvation is found in Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of God. So listen, if you want to get more wise, which I hope we all would, if you want to get more wise, you get to know Jesus more. Amen? Get closer to Jesus. The more you know Jesus, the closer you get to Him, the more wisdom you're going to have in your life. We've been trained that wisdom is imparted through, you know, years of college and reading all kinds of books, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But I'm here to tell you that wisdom is not really found in those things. It's good, but the only true wisdom is Jesus Christ. Amen? And without Jesus, there is no wisdom. So as we draw closer to Him, we'll have more and more of the wisdom of God in our lives. If you want to be more wise, grow in your relationship with Jesus. All right? So here's a summary. This is my mathematical equation for you today. All right? God's perfect knowledge plus His perfect wisdom plus His goodness equals awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And I want you to know, if you're here today and you've not given your life to Jesus or you're not walking with the Lord like you once did, I want you to know that the Lord is here today. And if you will reach out to Him, if you will call out to Him, if you will ask Him, He will come into your life. He will change you. Maybe you've been looking for answers in life and you've got so many questions and you feel so confused today. I want you to know that all of your confusion. I'm not saying every answer is going to become immediately clear to you, but I am saying that things are going to be so much clearer in your life. You're going to have so much more understanding. The questions that have been spinning around in your head, I'm telling you, they're found in the person of Jesus. And He will give you wisdom and a sense of purpose and guidance and direction in your life if you will open up your heart to Him. So I'm going to invite everybody in this place to bow your hearts with me, bow your heads in a word of prayer, and I want to give you this opportunity, this invitation. Are you here today, and you've been just kind of wandering, you've been kind of floundering, you've been looking for answers? I want to give you this opportunity to open your heart and life up to Jesus Christ today. He is the wisdom of God. He is the one your heart longs for. He is what you're looking for. He is the one that makes sense out of life. And I want to give you this opportunity today, if you've not given your life to Jesus, or you need to reconnect with Jesus today, I want to give you the opportunity by leading you in a prayer right where you're seated. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you're here and you find yourself at a place where you recognize, wow, I need the Lord in my life. I need Jesus in my life. Or I need to really come back to the Lord and give God another chance to work in my life. You've been neglecting your relationship with Him. If that's you today, when I get to three, I'm going to invite you to just raise your hand. And you're just saying, Tim, today I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to recommit my life to Jesus. So I'll count to three. When I get to three, if that's you, you raise your hand up. One, two, three. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Several of you this morning. Fantastic. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. Is there anybody else that would like to join these four or five that have raised their hand this morning? Anybody else? Just hold your hand up nice and high so I can see it. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. Don't neglect this opportunity that God is giving to you right now. Open your heart to Him. Open your life to Him. He's the one your heart is seeking. He's the one you're looking for. Hallelujah. Anybody else this morning? All right. You can put your hands down. I'm going to just pray with those of you who have raised your hand this morning. God bless you, several of you this morning. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Church, would you pray with those that have raised their hand this morning? Lord Jesus, I bring you my life today. I've been wandering. I've been floundering. I need you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you've risen from the dead. So Lord, this morning, I open up my heart. I invite you to come into my life and change me. Change me, God. Change my heart. Change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I want to pray for those of you who you've got a big decision before you right now, and you're needing wisdom from God. I want to pray for you today. So if that's you today, you've got a big decision, you're needing wisdom from God, would you raise your hand up right now? Hallelujah. Father, I just want to pray for every person lifting their hand up. God, they're needing an answer. They're needing direction. They're needing wisdom from you. God, we've read in your word today that you'll give it to us. So we just stand on that. And God, I pray for every person in this place. They're looking for direction. God, maybe it's about a job. Maybe it's about selling a house. Maybe it's about moving. Whatever it might be, God, you know it perfectly well. And God, you know the consequences of our actions. You know the blessings of our actions. So I want to pray, Lord, for your guidance and your direction as they wait upon you and seek you for direction in this question that they've got. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning for his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.